business reputationally is down there now with politicians, with estate agents. People don't think well about those who lead their businesses.
I'm Helen Dickinson. This is a BRC podcast in which I'm chatting to Richard Pennycook, one of the great leaders of the retail industry, and he's going to give us his views on the scale and pace of change going on in the retail industry today, the importance of making sure from a business or from a society point of view that we're talking about the right things, and thirdly, purpose. Any business needs to really be clear about what its purpose is in order to be successful. So listen in, a great podcast to come. Now, you're no longer at the Co-op, so not speaking for either the Co-op or any of the companies that you chair, but perhaps taking a bit of a step back for a second, tell me about your sort of perspectives of the last 20 years before we look forward.
It's been just such a fantastic time to be in retail over the last 20 years. I think we're all aware that the pace of change is hotting up. We've never seen anything like it before. And so from the point of view of being able to work in that environment, that's been a real privilege. But also from the point of view of seeing what we've been able to do for our customers and consumers over the last 20 years, it's been a fantastic time, particularly in the West, to be a consumer, and the range of choice and the value that we as an industry provide to people is just phenomenal.
So in terms of what prices continuing to be kept low over decades, people being able to buy more and have much more on offer from all over the world, really.
Yeah, global supply chains, as you say, very competitive industries being able to keep pricing and value at great levels for the consumer. And that range of choice. So something I touched on in the lecture was the fact that over the last 20 years, pretty much anybody can have access to every book ever written, every song ever sung, every film ever made. It's there on your device or in your living room. And when I was a kid, I used to dream about that. That must be for rich people. It's not for rich people anymore.
And the other thing that you touched on in the early bit of your lecture was you were sort of talking about the context of the world that we live in that these are the best times that we've ever seen. Can you just tell us a little bit more about some of the insights you have had about those that have benefited from that and those that perhaps hadn't?
This is a podcast, so unfortunately we can't show visuals, but there was one that we used in the lecture, which just as one slide, I think, tells a really interesting story about the last 20 or 25 years in terms of global history. And it was about income distribution and income growth. What it showed was that overwhelmingly, on a global level, this has been a very good period. And just a simple stat, the proportion of the world's population who have to get by on a dollar a day, so people who are in utter poverty, has halved over that period. And across most of the various segments, people's wealth has increased dramatically. In particular, in the emerging markets, that's been the Asian middle class and that educated group who have done really well. But the professional classes in the West have done really well also. Where we've seen a greater challenge is the lower middle classes, those with fewer skills, again in the developed economies, who have not seen income progression over the last period of years, and particularly since the financial crisis. And it's those groups who are feeling a bit left behind. And that's a challenge for us in business, because we can see that discontent, which is playing out politically, but we can also see it as business leaders in terms of how people think about us. And business reputationally is down there now with politicians, with estate agents. People don't think well about those who lead their businesses.
So this was the sort of the big, one of the big questions that you were raising was that, you know, is trust in business, or particularly trust in retail, at a sort of historic low? And what is it that we need to do to address that? And you started, you really focused in on leadership and what that actually means. So what, from your point of view, what have you learned over your career about leadership and leading businesses?
Again, with that 20-year perspective, it's been really interesting to see how professional management has changed in most organisations, and particularly, obviously, my experience in retail. So when I started, typically, large retailers would be run by large characters. There would be somebody at the top of that organisation.
We've had lots of those in retail in our history.
We've had lots of them, and they've provided great stories and that great legacy. However, it was a style of its time, which was really command and control. Mm-hmm. And that charismatic leader telling the organisation what to do. What we've seen over that period is that the world and business have become phenomenally more complex, and very few organisations can run effectively by one person at the top telling everybody what to do. Mm. It doesn't work anymore. Mm. So we've seen the evolution of leadership to a much more consensual, collegiate style, where it's all about the team. And we see now across our great retailers that whilst most of us will still know the name of the chief exec, most of those chief execs will give the credit for their success to the fact that they are good managers and pickers of talent.
And do you think then, so if, I mean, we do have many great leaders in the retail industry today, but we do also have this trust and this question around business in general and retail as well. Is there a disconnect between those two things, do you think?
I think potentially there is a disconnect, and something that we do need to be thoughtful about. You know, we are leaders and we need to play our part in restoring that breakdown of trust, which seems to apply across society. And we need to do that collectively, but it's individually important for each of our businesses, because if there is this general lack of respect or trust for business, then it encourages our customers to just treat us as commodities and to think that it's fine to shop around, because actually, if you don't trust the organisations you're dealing with, why would you give them your loyalty?
So it's going to be one of the differentiating factors, a giver of competitive advantage, I guess, is what you're saying.
I think it absolutely is. And we can see that over the long term through the reputations of firms that have stood for something and are, you know, regarded in that way by their customers. And I suppose often we come back to the John Lewis Partnership as a great example of that. But those very strong cultures, those reputations for doing the right thing, do stand the test of time.
Yeah. And perhaps rolling that forward then, so looking into the future, so how do you see, or what do you think are the sort of the biggest questions for the retail industry as we look forward into the next 20 years? What will our future history look like?
I think the pace of change is accelerating rather than slowing down.
People always talk to me about pace of change,
So we just reflected on the fact that the last 20 years has been pretty dynamic. We really ain't seen nothing yet. And the BRC's 2020 reports, I think, started to signal some of the change coming, and talked about it in terms of fewer better jobs.
Yeah.
I think fewer better jobs for our industry will translate as better service and more personalization for our customers.
Yeah.
And that's going to be a key feature of success or failure, I think, in the next period.
Mm.
So anything commoditized just goes online, becomes transactional, and the opportunities lie in real engagement with customers. But in order to get that engagement, you have to have the trust that we were just talking about, but then you have to have brilliant colleagues who can deliver it on the ground or through contact centres, however the consumer wants to interact with you. And that's a real challenge for our industry, because for a long time, whilst we've been the biggest employer in the UK, we've been the biggest employer of entry-level
local and local jobs as well. And that was the sort of the as you say, the whole point behind the Retail 2020 work that we did, was saying that there's almost sort of a two trajectories, if you like, two futures, and we need to make sure that the industry isn't going down one that is a more commoditized version of lower level jobs, and the other being a more productive, more efficient, better paid, more engaging, more focused on customer service, more analytical, more digital. So there's lots of potential there, and how we make sure that we go on that trajectory as opposed to a sort of a more commoditized one.
I completely agree. And the plus of that is that those jobs are going to be just so much more interesting, aren't they, and rewarding. So we need to work at that. It won't just happen, whether that's really being serious about apprentice levy and putting training back into our workplaces. And again, having the conversation as an industry, I think we really do need to take this very seriously. The flip side of it, as currently the biggest employer in the UK, is that we're going to displace a lot of people.
Yeah.
And as a society, we need to be thinking about what they're going to do.
And that was, I mean, the way I think we described it in Retail 2020, we were talking about the most vulnerable people in our society, and those in the most vulnerable locations. So perhaps the less economically viable places around the country. That's where what we're both describing is going to hit hardest. And I think one of the other sort of messages that you had in the lecture was about asking the right questions. So whether that's from a business point of view or from a government point of view, how you deal with some of that. Otherwise, those people in the middle that you described earlier that perhaps have not done so well out of the developments over the last 20 years are going to become more challenged about their future outlook.
I think they are. And talking about the right things is really important at the moment. I used the example of population growth over the last 20 years and pointed out that in 1997, we'd had a long period where the population was pretty stable and house building had more than kept up with it. And as a result of that, in 1997, nobody was talking about the pressures that population growth would put on the system.
Mm.
Now we're seeing those pressures having played out in all sorts of ways, whether that's lack of housing or dissatisfaction with people who don't have access to the right infrastructure. And the point that I was making is that today's right thing to be talking about is the displacement of these jobs.
Yeah.
And the difficulty is that in 2017 Britain, we've got nearly full employment, so nobody's talking about it.
No.
But actually, if you believe the numbers in terms of what's coming with automation and artificial intelligence, then we're going to see 15 million people who who don't have traditional jobs to do over the next decade or so. What are they going to do? And if we're not careful, those high streets, those communities are going to get hollowed out.
Yeah.
We need to have answers to that.
We do. And I mean, it's one of the things that we talk to government about on a regular basis is those sorts of questions. And it's almost, as you say, it's sort of the evidence isn't bearing out as yet. So the reality hasn't quite sunk in. And so, I mean, that's an ongoing challenge and something that we must continue to talk about the right things. And then sooner or later, the messages will gain more traction. And but bringing it back perhaps to retail to close, in terms of the environment that we're describing, the pace of change, the some of the technology impacts that are going to change the way that businesses work, the need to rebuild that trust, what advice would you have for other retail leaders in thinking about that future and making sure that it's a success for them, their business, and the people that work in it?
I think if it was just one piece of advice, I'd encourage everybody to think about what is the purpose of the company that they're working for or leading.
Yeah.
Because purpose-driven organisations, I think, will be the ones that are really successful in this next phase, and particularly with the millennial generation coming into the workplace. They really care about the environment in which they're working and what their employer stands for.
Yeah, great advice. Richard, thank you very much for taking part in our very first ever podcast.
Great pleasure.
Some really interesting views there from Richard. I think my reflection on what it is that he's just been talking about is, firstly, recognising the scale and the pace of change that we are only in the foothills of. So he was kind of saying we've only seen the beginnings of the significance of the transformation that the industry is going to undertake. And the second thing that I took away was this whole making sure that you're talking about the right things, whether that is from a business point of view or a society point of view. Often you get tied up in the day-to-day or the detail, and actually there's some really big challenging questions out there. So you've got to be able to stand back and make sure that you're asking the right question and talking about the right things. And finally, thirdly, was the importance of purpose. That was his one big piece of advice to any business leader, is making sure that it's really clear within your business what is the point. Why is it that the business should exist? And that having that purpose is what will drive the people that work within it. So some really great insights from one of the great and the good leaders of the retail industry, Richard Pennycook.